One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I feel like we were really productive today.
I think we were. Yep.
Very proud of us.
Yeah, we started working out, did a workout.
Today?
Together.
Yes, that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from dying because it's the first workout of forever ago.
Right.
Yeah. But it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then cleaned the basement, did laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Dishes are done. Got the kids to bed a little bit late, but they're in bed, so
correct.
That's good. And here we are recording a podcast now. We're so productive.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Matt.
I'm Amy.
And tonight, we are going to tackle some write-ins that have been lingering out there for a little bit. So
I love it when listeners write in.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. Ah, yes. Welcome to Midwest Married, by the way. This week, we are also hanging out with Morgan on her show. Thursdays are her days usually?
Thursdays are her days, yep.
Yeah. Okay, so if you found us from Two Hot Takes, welcome. We're happy you're here.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
It was fun. It's always fun with Morgan. It's always wild, a little crazy.
A lot of man-hating.
Well, I mean, those specific men kind of deserved a little bit of hate in her
stories.
True. Right?
That's all true.
Like, none of it was undeserved, I think. They need to behave better.
It was good.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for anybody that did write in, and anybody that's listening, please write in.
How do they write in, Matt?
You can find the link on our Instagram bio.
Ah, okay. Perfect.
Yep. There's a link tree. Click in there. You'll see right in.
Perfect. All right. Should we dive into the first one? Go for it.
Let's do it. Hi, Matt and Amy. I'm a huge fan of the pod, as you guys have called it.
Thank you.
Yep. Anyways, I, female 19, and my boyfriend, 18 male, we've been together for almost 2.5 years and have been planning to move in with each other for quite some time now. Our current plan is to move in together in an apartment downtown, around 30 minutes away from each of our families. The plan is to go sometime in August, so we still have some time. Everyone in my family is aware of this, except for my mom. My dad was going to help me bring it up to my mom because we're worried about her reaction since I'm the oldest and she's really never had to experience this before. Sadly, my grandma, my mom's mom, passed away the same week my dad was planning on talking to her. It feels kind of weird to bring it up now. I feel like I've really been stressing out about this because moving and finding a new place to live is already stressful enough. But then I have this whole family aspect of it. I'm currently in college in the city we want to move to, and commute about 1 hour, public transport one way every single day.
It's a lot.
My boyfriend and I also feel like this is a natural next step for our relationship. However, we were trying to set up some tours the other day, and my dad asked what we're doing. I told him, and he goes, well, your boyfriend doesn't have any savings, and you don't have a job. This stressed me out even more. My boyfriend will be making around $3,200 a month, and I'm planning on finding a part-time job. I also have $10,000 in savings and about $200,000 in a college fund. However, my dad's paying my tuition because he wants that money to gain as much interest as possible, which I'm beyond grateful for. We're planning on finding a place that has a base rent somewhere between $1,200 and $1,500 for the month for an apartment, which in my head sounds pretty reasonable and a good budget for how much we'll be making a month. However, I've never moved and this is all very new to my boyfriend and I. So I need some advice on a couple of aspects. A, how should I tell my mom? B, do you think an apartment is attainable? We've talked about living on the outskirts to find a cheaper place if needed as well. And C, should I just ignore what my dad is saying and continue on? As I mentioned, I'm the oldest, so this is new for them, and they don't really know what to expect. But at the same time, I'm an adult. And when my mom was my age, she got married.
There's that.
And also, just to note, the past few weeks, prior to my grandma dying, my dad's been mentioning his plans to me for my room once we move out. Any help? Any advice? What do you got?
Well, we should probably start with question A. How does she tell her mom?
Don't.
Well, I mean, that's what I did. But her entire rest of her family knows, right? And she's open with the entire rest of her family. And it sounds like she wants to tell her mom. Well, so that is not hidden from her.
You have to tell your mom that you're moving out. You just didn't tell your parents that you were moving in with me.
Yes. Although, to be fair, when we moved out, we also had many roommates because we were broke college students. And mm-hmm. so we lived with Sarah and Joy for quite some time. Zach was thrown in the mix. You know, there were a lot of people in our college rental houses.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We made it work. But anything to, you know, save a buck when you are going through school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think my parents knew, but I think that they just chose not to acknowledge it and just like, you know, brush it under the rug and ignore it. You know, if you ignore it, it doesn't exist kind of a thing. So I feel like that's what happened. For years and years and years and years until we got engaged, and then they found, and then they had personal like acceptance of it, and then we would talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's not what I recommend for you. You luckily have an entire rest of your family who is going to be supportive, it sounds. You've already talked about it with them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have your back, is my guess. And they're also probably going to really thank you for paving the way and kind of setting that expectation up for your brothers and sisters. I don't know how many you have, but their time will come as well, right? So I think you're like light years ahead, knowing that your dad is, it sounds like, honestly pretty supportive. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that you should sit your mom down, have a plan in place as to how you want to go about moving out and your plan to make it a successful venture.
Yeah. So my question to myself would be, what are your mom's top concerns, right? Do you think that she's going to be worried about your finances or your school, or is she just like religiously against moving in together? You know, what is going to be the big issue for your mom? Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, kind of have that plan in place to address each of her potential concerns so you can kind of ease her mind a little bit. Say, hey, I imagine you're worried about finances. We've crunched the numbers. You know, here's my plan. You know, I'm really looking forward to rising to this financial challenge. It's kind of one of the first ways that I get to be financially independent in my life, you know, paying for my own place and mm-hmm. kind of getting the feel for that. Letting her know you're prepared to make sacrifices, whether that's, you know, how much you're shopping or trips or, you know, whatever it is. She might appreciate hearing that because that's probably one of her concerns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I'll just jump to part C. You should have the same conversation with your dad and see why the script flipped.
Why do you think that did switch?
Yeah. Reality probably set in. Maybe he didn't think you were serious at first.
And then time has gone on and he's like, ooh, or maybe this might be a thing. Maybe he didn't realize how expensive housing is these days.
Also like, true.
Maybe in his brain, a one-bedroom apartment was still $700 a month or something like that. And he was like, oh, yeah, no problem. When in reality these days, yep, I think that you're kind of, you're pretty accurate with saying 1,200, 1,500. I don't think that's going to get most people a very large apartment these days.
Yeah, probably not.
Right? Yeah. Hmm.
I think it depends on where you live.
So maybe it's a little bit of sticker shock from him not realizing like how much it actually costs nowadays.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that you're right. Having that plan ahead of time, just sitting down and being like, hey, I noticed that you were really supportive of me moving out and moving in with my boyfriend. And now it feels like you're not so much, you know, what happened? What changed? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we kind of talk this through? Because I really appreciate your support in helping me tell mom. Do you think that she should tell her mom by herself or still like have her dad kind of
do it together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just sit them both down, have dinner, break the news.
Yeah.
Loads of people move out when they're 18.
Absolutely.
And move in with their boyfriends or significant others and the whole nine. I think it's a very newer thing for our generation to stick around at home longer. But your mom, again, was married at your age. Mm-hmm. So she gets it. She understands it. And maybe she had some struggles when she moved out and got married right away. Maybe that's what would be her concerns. And just be prepared to address all of the issues.
All of her thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it sounds like that, you know, she probably has a stable relationship. They've been dating a few years now. I think that's really a good sign. I mean, be prepared for the question of, well, what happens if you break up? I mean, maybe that's not going to be a question, but
yeah, then we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
There you go. An apartment for $1,200, $1,500. I think that's reasonable. It's attainable.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about a roommate, adding that extra person in along with you and your boyfriend share a room and closet, and then you have a roommate sharing, if it's a two bedroom versus a studio,
right?
You can then
might be cheaper that way.
Split that cost a little bit.
Yeah.
Which would help.
We did it. And if you've got a good friend or even a few, we had a lot of fun, you know, not being just the two of us renting. Yeah.
And we never did apartments. We did houses. Townhome. We did a townhome.
Yeah.
And then houses.
Right.
Yeah. So they're out there. You can find some decent ones. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Although I think they want to move like into the city. So apartments might be more what's available.
Maybe.
For their area.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not sure.
There's houses all over the place where we live though. Yeah. In town, out of town.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question that she didn't ask. So we're going to give some unsolicited advice here. What advice do you have for her moving in with her boyfriend for the first time? Like that's going to be a dynamic, right? Like that's new. There's going to be challenges.
Yeah, I think setting the right expectations with each other and communicating about where you're at in your path, I think is going to be huge. There was a period of time where you were in school and I was working, not in school. And we were on two different pages at that time where maybe had we come together and worked together as a team, it would have been better. We had some
like
struggles.
Lifestyle expectations.
Yeah.
Kind of what you're talking about.
Right. So I'd get home at 2-3 in the morning. I'd play video games after I got done with, you know, serving, and you'd be getting up to go to school or go to work. And I was finishing and.
Right. Yeah. I would start work at 6:30 in the morning quite often. And then I'd go to school after that and then come home. And it was just a completely different lifestyle because I would want to go to bed early and you were a night owl and it didn't really jive super great.
Yeah. I just think
there's time in our lives.
You're both so young and there's going to be a lot of new life experiences headed your way.
Yeah.
And just be able to recognize some of those experiences and different paths. And hopefully you guys can grow together and work through it if there's issues, but yeah, that would have been mine. How about yours?
Okay. My recommendation is to discuss domestic labor prior to moving in together and how you're going to accomplish that domestic labor in a way that feels good and fair to both of you. So are you both going to do the dishes? Are you just going to do your own dishes and he's going to do his dishes? You know, what is the expectation going to be there? What about dinners? Who's really going to be the primary person to cook? Or are you going to take turns? Or are you going to do it together? You know, how do you want to like manage that together? Laundry. That's a big one. Who's doing the laundry? Are you doing it separately? Are you going together to a laundromat? Is one person going to do the dishes and one person going to do the laundry? What about cleaning? Cleaning the bathroom? Mopping the kitchen floor, right? Like the, aside from like picking up and tidying up the house, who's going to be responsible for those household chores? When we had a whole bunch of roommates, we had, I created the chore chart, and once a week we rotated different jobs. This person cleaned the bathroom, this person cleaned the kitchen, this person, I don't know, did something else, vacuumed or something like that. But that was something that really drove me crazy when we first started. I think it might have spurred a breakup when I realized that somehow, very sneakily, I ended up doing all of the laundry all of the time.
I don't believe it.
Believe it, because that's what happened. And I think it stemmed a little bit from you coming, you had lived with your grandma, who was very, very traditional. Like, that's where you lived most of the time. Mm-hmm. And she took care of all of your laundry all of the time. So you just, I don't know, were kind of turning a little bit of a blind eye to it, or weren't noticing it, or you chose not to do your laundry. Let's just put it like that.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So especially at that young age where I'm like, I'm not your mother. Like, why do you have this expectation of me? Like, why are we doing this? And also, if I don't do your laundry, we're sharing a space. I also don't like it if it gets like out of control. So have that discussion, have that plan. How are you going to divvy up the domestic labor? Because it shouldn't fall on one person's shoulders. So, and then once you get together, you're probably going to have that conversation a few different times, because you'll live, and like what you plan might come to pass, but also you might figure out that with your lifestyles or however your, you know, work schedules are set up, that it might not work super effectively. So you got to go back to the drawing board and change things up. Or maybe when school starts, your schedule gets really, really busy and crazy. Maybe you won't have capacity to do X, Y, Z, but you can do A, B, and C, you know? So that is probably some of my biggest advice as far as moving in together with a partner for the first time, sharing a space. I think it's exciting, and congratulations. I think that it's, you're going to grow a lot. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn a lot about your partner that you never thought you'd learn about. But it can be really good too. I mean, clearly here we are years and years later, we figured it out eventually. It probably took us longer than it takes most people to figure out all these things, but we figured it out. So yes. And then finances. I mean, I think that we touched on that. I do think that your numbers seem to check out. It might not hurt to, even if you want a little bit more cushion in your budget, to see if there are any places that run a little bit less, even just to take a look at them and go tour them. But I think that your budget sounds really reasonable between you and your boyfriend if you get a part-time job. But make sure that with school that you're able to juggle all of that without your schoolwork falling behind as well. So,
yeah, nailed it.
Anything else? Anything I forgot?
I don't think so. Think you got it all.
All right. Awesome. Should we do the next?
Let's do the next one.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Do you have any teachers that you used to be close with in high school?
High school teachers?
Yeah, it could be college too, or somebody that you, like a role model you looked up to.
I mean, I had a few like really great teachers that stood out. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. I, 27 female, found out my high school teacher is in prison.
Oh.
And all I want to do is write to her. Okay. What do I do? Hi, all. Just want to start out by saying I love the pod.
Thanks.
Thank you. And absolutely love your takes on the stories that you both share. I wrote in once before and it truly helped me a lot. So thank you both so much.
Good.
Today, I need advice. The title basically says it all. When I was in high school, one of my teachers who I had for this one subject for about 4 years in a row truly shaped my life. Before I had her as a teacher for this subject, I used to fail this class miserably and was told I just need to do better without being told what better even was.
Well, that's not helpful.
She was the one who took her time with me to see why I was failing and helped me improve. Not only that, she kind of became my confidant. I was going through some shit in my life and she would always be there for me, sometimes even just taking her lunch break to spend time with me. She truly was a godsend in my life during one of the most difficult times. When I graduated high school, I kept in touch with her, kind of keeping her up to date with my life when I got into university. And every now and again, maybe once or twice a year, I would message her kind of just to let her know, hey, here's what I'm up to. This is what I'm doing. Checking in to see how she was. The last time I messaged her was right before I was about to graduate. I heard back from her and she said she was doing great. She had moved across the country and I had let her know of my accomplishment and she was really happy to hear from me again. Then life got in the way. I started working and life just got busy. Earlier this year, I randomly thought of her again and decided to message her. We used to talk on Facebook Messenger. I realized last time I talked to her was about 4 years ago now. And so much has happened in my life since then. And I just wanted to check in, let her know how I was doing. When I searched for her name on Facebook, it didn't come up. I thought perhaps maybe she deleted her account or blocked me because I could see our messages, but her profile no longer existed. So I decided to search for her again on Facebook, but nothing. I truly wish I hadn't searched because what I found on the internet broke my heart into a million pieces. Name: found guilty of unaliving partner.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. At first, I thought that a random someone maybe had the same name and it wasn't the same person. But I kept reading and then saw her photo with her partner. I was at work when I came across this and it felt like somebody pulled the earth from beneath my feet. I read the article, every single word. I didn't stop there. Through my work, I have access to certain databases, so I accessed some court judgments. There was no suppression of any kind, so it wasn't illegal, just to be clear. Reading what I read broke me even more. I can't go into the details of really what happened or why she did it, but I can say that it did not change my perception of her, and my heart broke for her and the victim and both of their families. So now, here I am, because even after months of reading this and learning this, I just can't get over it. I know it's not about me, and this has nothing to do with me, but she was one of the biggest impacts of my life, and I just can't help but think that I should go and see her, check in on her. I owe her enough for her to know that she is a good person still. I don't even know what I'm saying makes any sense. I just want to know, should I write a letter to her, or will that not be received well by her? My husband told me not to. He said that she might not be happy about knowing that one of her students would see her in prison. I want to write to her so she can remember who she was before all this and that she still has people out to support her. What should I do? And there was a little note that it was a domestic violent situation.
I was kind of wondering. Yeah. Honestly, I do think you should write to her. I kind of am on your side with that, especially because you're feeling compelled and feeling called to let her know that she's got your support. I wouldn't just show up and ask for visitation. I think that that might be a little too much, right? But certainly if she were to write you back and would be receptive to that, I think that, you know, if as long as you feel comfortable with it, I think that would be okay. It sounds like that was a really, really tough situation. And it sounds like after the research that you did, it didn't really even change your perception of who she is. And it doesn't change the fact that she was there for you all throughout high school. She took the time to get to know you. She, made that meaningful change in your life. Things that happen don't negate that from the past, right? Wow, that's really heavy. And I'm sure that there's a lot of conflicting feelings with that. I'm sure that there's a lot of sadness too. I would think that if she were to receive a letter from you and you were just to say, hi, you know, I really, after 4 years, I searched you out because I enjoy giving you my life update. So much has happened. And, you know, really honestly, also dwell on that, you know, give her your life update, tell her what you wanted to tell her in the Facebook message. And perhaps, you know, don't spend too much time on, you know, the details of why she is currently in prison. Focus on the things that you had wanted to tell her in the first place. Maybe wrap everything up with just, you know, a supportive statement and, you know, and just permission. Ask whether she would be open to a visitor if that's what you want to do, or a phone call or something. What do you think? Do you disagree? Are you on the husband's side?
Meh, I don't know. I think it depends on a lot of different factors, I guess.
Okay, is what she factors?
Still, you know, is she still the same person that she was prior? Do you want to involve this person into your life again?
Okay. Yeah, like what are the risks? Yeah, what if she has kind of changed?
Yeah, so that's something to think about. And you don't have to give the teacher all of your details or where you live or what you're doing. Or, you know, I think you can leave some of that out maybe. But I'm trying to think of...
Oh, like safety concern kind of a deal?
I'm just like, you know, she gets out at some point in time. Maybe it, who knows what her sentence was, right? The circumstances. But then she's like, oh, this is, I have this person. And then she, you know, reaches out, shows up, tries to like, you're then her support system. And I don't know.
If you haven't yet made that decision of how involved you'd like to be.
Right.
Kind of a deal.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I'm just thinking of worst case scenarios.
Okay. And I'm sure that her husband is probably thinking about the worst case scenarios too.
Maybe
I don't know.
She loved...
I didn't think about any of those. What?
I was just saying, maybe she loved the thrill of killing the dude.
Oh my gosh, Matt. No.
Jokes.
You probably shouldn't joke about that.
Well, she's in jail for murder, so...
It's good to think about the safety side of things. That's something I didn't really think about. Maybe that's what your husband is thinking about too. And yes, if you know, the teacher has changed and she's been through a lot, and you know, there's a possibility that if you were to go and visit, maybe it wouldn't be, you know, as positive of an experience as you would hope for. I don't know. I mean, that would be like the risk that you would take, I guess. Any other downsides? Any other risks?
I don't know. Would it change your perception of her after you go and talk? Maybe like if you actually get to talk to her, is that going to change your perception of her?
Kind of tarnish those memories?
Yeah, I just think that some things have changed for a teacher, right? And she might not be the same person that you thought she was.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, I think that that's fair. So I think that might be something that you need to weigh, you know, if it were to go poorly, or maybe she would not respond. Yeah. Does that further tarnish your memories? And maybe only you can decide that. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think. I had a few teachers throughout my life that I can think of. Time has passed. But if, you know, this one individual ended up in jail, I don't know. Sure. What are you going to go and talk about? What, like, I don't know. It's just...
Well, I could see you at least writing a letter of an update to give a little bit of light in that teacher's life and, you know, maybe not going and visiting, but I could definitely see you writing a letter and being like, hey, just so you know, I really appreciate all that you did for me back in the day.
And maybe you can turn that person around. This person said, remind them of who they were.
Yeah. So, exactly. Like, remind them of all the wonderful things that they accomplished in their life.
Yeah. And I suppose there are situations where unaliving somebody is never great. But in this case, it was domestic and there are situations and bad things happen to good people and good people do bad things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. This one was a really hard one.
I'm glad that we helped you with your last one. I'm not sure we're very helpful this time around. But let us know what you decide. You know, yeah. I'd really like to know what ends up happening.
Go ahead.
That.
You know what? Go ahead. Write the letter.
I told you Matt would the letter. Maybe you don't need to ask to visit or maybe that's really more what we'd need you to search your heart about. I think that one carries a little bit more risk, but write your letter. I think that is good.
It is another repeat writer.
No way.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Listener, write in. Yeah.
I love it.
Hello, fam. This is my second time writing in, and I recently expressed about my boyfriend's addiction and how we resolved it. This was probably a Thanksgiving-ish December episode with Morgan. Just for anybody that maybe hasn't listened to that episode, boyfriend admitted that he had an addiction to pornography.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. And they talked about it and moved forward with their relationship. So I ended with wanting to get a ring as I am ready to get married on the last write-in. That's where they had ended on their update.
Okay.
I'm writing in this time to ask about the proposal. I heard recently from my mom that my boyfriend was wanting to plan it during our vacation this year. The only issue is that the only vacation that I have planned is in May for a friend's wedding. What's the proper etiquette of getting proposed after somebody's big day? One of my best friends just came back from a wedding and had an extended trip in the area and got proposed to at the end of it. We plan on staying a few days after as well, and I hope that's when he would do it, but should he? I want to ask my best friend, who is the one getting married, but she recently expressed that she hopes that he doesn't propose on the trip. But I'm not sure if she was super serious or just said it as a joke since we were all laughing at the time. And one thing to add, my friend is actually getting married the week prior, but is doing a formal ceremony in a different country where we'll be on the vacation. So they'll already be married at this point in time of the actual trip. What do you think about him proposing?
Very interesting. Okay, so my gut reaction was, all right, if he's going to propose on this trip, I'm all for it, but do it after the wedding, especially if you're going to be there for, you know, the 3 days or whatever, you're still sticking around afterwards. If it were me as the bride and my friend got engaged, especially after the big celebration of like our stuff, mm-hmm. I would be over the moon and overjoyed for them. And I think that would be really, really fun and special and something to be remembered. And I would probably love to be involved in the actual proposal if it were me. So I think that the interesting part is that your friend had already voiced that she didn't want you to be proposed to, but also it's not really up to her, right?
As long as it's not at the ceremony.
Yeah. And not taking away like the spotlight from the bride and groom, because it is their special time and special day.
Yeah. I just think that anybody that is going to propose to somebody at somebody else's wedding, they better do all the things and checking to make sure that it's good with the bride, it's good with the groom, and that's part of the plan.
Right, yes.
So, but if it's not at the wedding, fuck them. Propose away. Get your ring, lady. But I don't even understand the problem. Like that, it's in a different country. I'm sure it's going to be great. I don't know where you're going. Italy, Rome.
Sounds beautiful. You know, Venice, sounds very romantic.
Something good, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the ring.
Yeah. I think it would be fine and exciting. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from, especially if you're really great friends and you worry about their feelings. But again, it's kind of probably not even up to you, right? Like, this is kind of his decision. I might leave hints like, oh, I for sure wouldn't want to ring before the wedding or at the wedding or something like that. Hopefully he knows enough to avoid that situation unless, you know, again, as part of the plan, like you had mentioned, because that would be a little like not great with the etiquette if he were to just spring it up right there. But afterwards, I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw this out there that if this person is actually your best friend and she doesn't want you to get proposed on and you want to be proposed to, this friend sucks. You need a new best friend. I'm just saying.
I mean, you might not be that wrong. I could probably get behind that. I don't know. Hopefully your best friend would just be very supportive of you and very happy for your happiness.
It's a joyous occasion.
It is a joyous occasion.
Love's in the air.
Okay. So, but with the thing with proposals is what I want to remind everybody. Typically, you don't 100% know for sure that when that proposal is going to come. Typically, right?
Oh.
So if you go on this vacation and you're like really excited for something to happen and you're just kind of waiting for something to happen and nothing happens and you get on the plane to come back home, please, please, please do not be disappointed and sad, and please don't take that page out of my book.
Yeah, and don't be mad at said boyfriend for... Not. It's supposed to be a surprise. You're not supposed to know about it.
Uh-huh.
We had an event and Amy thought that it was going to go down and
I sure did.
It did not. And it just torpedoed our night. Did not go well.
No. Probably took a little bit more time also, like, for me to recover from that. I was probably not very happy for quite a while because I felt like I had been waiting so long. And for me, it was a little bit also like, where's the sense of control here? I want, like, a little bit of control over what's going on and when. Not, like, control over the proposal itself, but the choice and the fact that we are, in fact, going to get married someday.
Amy also thought that a surprise birthday party for her was going to be a proposal.
I also thought that, yeah. And that was when we were like 22 or something like that.
That did not go well either.
No, it didn't.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yes.
But
yeah,
here we are.
So it sounds like you guys have talked about it and you're like really confident that this proposal is going to be coming sometime soon, which is very exciting.
Congratulations.
Yes. My preference would have been to like have kind of a timeline or have that discussion of a general, like it's going to happen within this year. Like it doesn't have to be like it's going to happen next week, but that would have made me feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
You didn't do that. Instead, I started scheming and was like, well, if he doesn't propose by New Year's, I'm going to propose to him, and this is just how it's going to be.
I beat you to the punch.
You did, and you never got a watch out of the deal. I was going to get him a watch. It was going to be real cute. On the back, I was going to engrave it with the saying, "It's about time." Get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got it.
It would have been adorable. We were going to go geocaching. See, I still have this all planned up. Maybe someday I'll do it. We were going to go geocaching. I was going to like hide it in a tree or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been great.
It would have been great. You actually told me that you would have actually hated it though, because you were really wanting to like...
I had a plan, people, and followed through. So
yes, the plan was that one over there. Harlem, come here.
The dog, she's sleeping. That's all the listener write-ins we have for tonight.
Yes, so. And we got kind of a late start, so this is probably a little bit of a shorter episode, but next week we will come prepared with something really exciting and spicy. Maybe we should have a guest on this upcoming week.
All right.
Wouldn't that be good?
That'll be good.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe.
All those good things.
We appreciate you.
Bye.
Good night.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.